Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional and an author from Singapore, Joanna Manikchi. Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh.
Joanna is an author, an educator, and an artist. And as all of you know, I'm partial to authors. She's an author of a book titled Letters to My Grandfather. And today we will speak about this book only. So, Joanna, let me start by asking you, tell me about your book and what was the inspiration to write this book?
Thanks, Ashutosh. So the inspiration itself was the sort of event of my father's passing, which was back in August of 2008. And at the time, you know, we were sort of deep in the hassles and chaos of, you know, the days after someone passes away. It can be quite overwhelming. And it was only until a few months later that we got time to really sort of just sit with it and reflect. But it was also the confluence of a few things that were happening in the calendar year as well that were inspiration. Mm-hmm. So in Singapore, you probably remember from living here that there's the Hungry Ghost Month in August, a time when Chinese people will pay their respects to their ancestors by burning letters, paper, symbols of things like money to help these individuals in their afterlife. Mm. So that was happening in August. And then a few months later, there was Diwali. Mm. And we were sitting there as a family lighting our diyas. And in my mind, these things were sort of coalescing, the fire, the desire to communicate with someone who you've lost. My son was only 6 at the time. And so it was this combination of factors. It was like the perfect melding and merging of things that were happening around us that was the inspiration for the story.
Amazing. And how has your own personal journey influenced the narrative of your book?
Yeah, that's interesting. So this book is called Letters to My Grandfather. And at its core is this idea that you can communicate with people who are far away through letter writing. Mm. And I think my personal journey is, you know, if I look back, I think, my goodness, we are a letter writing family. Mm. So, and maybe all families, you know, of this, you know, past century were letter writers. Mm. Unlike today, I think that art has been lost a little bit. Mm. But at the time, I think we were all quite used to this idea of communicating with people who were far away through letters. And, you know, this was also underscored a few months ago when I was cleaning up things at my mom's house. Mm. And we found so many letters. You put aside things like books, clothes, files, you know, other belongings of, you know, of a life lived, you know, over, you know, many generations. But the thing that was overwhelming was the number of letters that we found. Letters from my great-grandparents to one another, to their children, to their grandchildren. And so I think from a personal journey perspective, it was definitely the letters that I think influenced this story a lot.
Incredible, incredible. My next question is that, you know, what challenges have you faced while trying to communicate complex emotions through your book to children?
It's a lovely question. You know, when I first reflected on this, I thought maybe children don't experience grief in the same way as adults do. But actually, from the little that I know about children's development, they experience grief as deeply as adults do. Mm-hmm. I think what's different is that especially younger children don't have the words, they don't have the language, and they don't know how to respond. So I think through this story, I wanted to create a role modeling in a way of how, as an adult, we can show children how to cope with grief. Mm-hmm. So my challenge was really to portray that adult figure as the one who is showing the way, And providing a language and providing a process to get through this and to get through this together.
Well said. Your book also integrates text with collages. How does this combination enhance storytelling?
The book, as you will have seen, is a very short book.
Yeah.
It's written for quite a young audience, so the text is minimal. There's maybe 8 pages of text. Some pages have 2 or 3 words on it. So for me, the pictures had to tell more of the
Absolutely.
story.
Yeah.
And I think that, children are also geared to explore their world to learn. So children are always, rummaging around, getting into things that they shouldn't be, but this is how they learn. And so I wanted this book to also be a world that they could explore. So you can find out lots about this family and about this process just through the collages. You could say the book is like a treasure trove of information. In each page, you can find out things like how old is this child? Is time passing in this story? How does this child communicate? What is it that is being communicated through this child's letters? Who is the grandfather? Where is the grandfather now? These are all pieces of information that you can actually get through scouring the pictures. And I think collage itself is a interesting medium because you choose the paint, so to speak, from other pieces of paper. So inside, there's another level of meaning. What paper has the illustrator chosen? So on page 1, I use a strawberry to create a flower. And kids are very perceptive and they are wired to explore. So they
Right.
are looking for this sort of meaning as they go through the book.
Great response. Thank you. And Joanna, how did you decide on the book's unique approach to discussing loss and remembrance?
As we were discussing at the start, it is really this combination of letters and dreams. I think we are all quite used to the idea that we can communicate with those who are far away through letter writing. But I think dreams are another angle in the story. Dreams tell us and confirm and give me as the author the confidence to let people who are reading this book know that we can even spend time with our loved ones in our dreams. And this is something that I have actually experienced and I experience on a regular basis. I'll have a dream about a friend I've not seen for a long time, or I'll have a dream about my grandmother who passed away 20 years ago. And in those dreams, I feel like I've spent like precious time with them, that we've gone through something together, that we've just been ourselves. And I wake up with this feeling of contentment, happiness, that we have revisited each other. So for me, this was a something to share with people that even if you haven't had that experience yet yourself, it is possible, there is hope. And so, yeah, it is the combination of letters and dreams that is central to how the story is told.
Oh, amazing. A few minutes back, you were telling me about how children also experience grief. My question is, what role does grief play in your book? And how do you address it for young readers?
I think grief is the starting place of the story. So, the idea that this event has taken place, the grandfather has gone somewhere that we will not be able to visit him. So it is really the starting place, and therefore it is the problem to be solved. And so the mother and the child then progress through the book, trying to like crack this nut. How do we stay in touch? Oh, well, perhaps we could send him a letter, because that would be a very practical, pragmatic way to reach out. And so grief is the starting place, but then we move on quickly into sort of problem solving and hope and so on.
The other question, and I've often seen this, is that when it comes to loss, parents don't want to talk about loss to children. I remember in my own days, 1971, when my grandfather passed away, I think I was 15 or 16 years old. And, my mother's parents came and took us away. So I was wondering, and I'd love to get your perspective, how do you suggest parents or guardians should introduce the topic of loss to children using your book?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, many of us went through childhood experiencing loss, but then not knowing how to deal with it because no one's talking about it.
Correct.
And then as adults, we become maybe a little bit constrained ourselves because, like, now it's happened. I still don't know how to deal with it. So I think in the book, I'm presenting a way to start younger, to develop that language, develop that process sooner, and to allow the book to explain a process, one possible way, in a way that is accessible to both parents and children. So, one obvious way to introduce the story is when something happens. So, when there is a bereavement in the family, then you can say, oh, I found this lovely book. Let's read it together. It's got lovely pictures. And it also has a story of a child who's lost a grandparent. So shall we read it? And I've taken this approach earlier, with subjects that are difficult in general, like let's say divorce or moving house, things that would necessarily unsettle a child. So I went to the library, I borrowed a book on moving house. And the child then sees that they are not alone in this, that other children have moved house before. There will be chaos. There will be saying goodbye to people, but there's also stuff to look forward to. So through these kinds of stories, which are a little bit difficult, you do develop the language, and feel more free to be able to process a grief. If let's say there has been no bereavement, I don't think it's not, top of our minds to introduce difficult topics with kids, but it could be the pictures that are the starting point. Like I found this beautifully illustrated book. Shall we take a look? And then you sort of come to the storyline later. So it really, you can come at it in different ways, but I think loss and other difficult subjects we shouldn't shy away from because we're going to have to deal with them at some point or the other.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Joanna, you also talk about some very, interesting feelings of love, loss, hope in your book. How do you balance these themes?
I think it was probably unintentional that they are, I think, quite balanced. And maybe it is helped by the fact that the book is so short. So it really just has three parts. The first is the loss, and then the love in the story, the love for the grandfather sort of propels the mom and her son to work through this loss. And then the hope is really what you want to leave with at the end, the confidence that I will get through this. I will get through it with the support of my family and others who are close to me, and we have a way to do that, a way that the adult is showing me how to communicate. So I would say that that's yeah, it balances out in that sense.
Very interesting. My next question is, what was the most rewarding part for you as an author when you wrote Letters to My Grandfather?
Actually, the whole process was extremely rewarding. And if I had to pick a couple of things, the first is probably the therapeutic benefits of being immersed in a art making form that is so completely relaxing.
Mm.
And when you are focused also on a topic that is difficult, you end up processing your grief as well. So that was quite rewarding. And the second thing is that, from an emotional perspective, I felt like by the end of it all, it took a few years to do, that I was gifting this to my dad. So that was also rewarding, even though he was would never be there to receive the gift in person. I felt like it was a monumental achievement to have finished this and then to dedicate it to him as a gift.
But what was the significance of dedicating the book, title Letters to My Grandfather, to your father and your son?
Yeah, so I think it was again, it was this wanting to communicate. Here is something I have made for you. My father was, from a young age, very good at art, but maybe children of that age at that time were not so encouraged to pursue their artistic dreams. So even though he studied architecture, he never was able to become an architect. So this was also my way of saying, hey, look, I'm on the same path as you. Here I am, and I want to dedicate this to you because you also didn't really manage to be on that path.
Great response. Thank you. And can you share any unexpected insights or discoveries that you made while you were writing your book?
Again, it was not so much in the writing, but in the illustrating that I got most of my insights. As a collage artist, and maybe other forms of art are the same, once you put paper and glue to paper, it's very hard to take off. And so being a very conscientious person myself, I found myself sometimes worrying a lot about, oh gosh, this doesn't look good, or it's a mistake. And in that process, I think I learned some valuable life lessons because I was spending so much time doing this. I was learning to let go of things. I was learning to make decisions around whether I should dedicate any more energy to fixing something that I'd supposedly done as a mistake. And to be patient, because this was a long process and I'm an impatient person. So another insight was, good things take time to make, to be realized. So trust in that process. Trust that when you're done, you're done, but don't rush it. So that was, one form of insight. And the other probably was like how great I felt while I was making these collages. And that, maybe life could be more of that, leading me a few years ago to actually quit my full-time job and dedicate myself more to art making and creativity in general. So I think those were the most significant sort of shifts that writing this book and doing the illustrations created for me.
Well said. And what have been some of the most surprising reactions that you have received from readers?
I think the reaction that was most surprising actually was just maybe a month ago. I had been to school and I went to read the story to a group of 10-year-olds, and I was also there to show to run a short class on how to make collages. And I always knew that, the story would be full of interesting visuals. But what I didn't realize is how like bang on I was about that. Like these kids went berserk over the images, how the collage was made. They went on this treasure hunt without really being pushed to do so. I just had to ask a few questions like,
Yeah.
where do you think they are in this picture? Or what do you think the little boy likes to read? And they were off. They were off. They were shouting. They were guessing. They were exclaiming. So the reaction is really like the joy in children as they go through the pictures.
Right.
The story in itself at that moment may not have been so important for anyone there, but it was the pictures that really lit them up. And I think that was very rewarding to see.
Very well said. So, time for two more questions. How do you hope your book contributes to conversations about death and coping mechanisms among young readers?
So I think, this question helps to summarize some of the things that I said, like, let's not shy away from difficult topics. This one is written in a really light way. And it gives us a language more than anything and a process. So, for those parents who are feeling like, let's talk about this. Let's not bury our feelings. Let's not pretend nothing happened. Then the story itself, prepares us from a young age to be able to process difficult things.
Well said. And my last message to you, and I think you've already given me many pointers, but I'm going to ask you this all the same. What message do you hope readers will take away from Letters to My Grandfather after closing the last page?
Few things probably to be excited about reading and art making. I think the kids after the session that I had with them were very keen to make collages. So it's a very accessible art form
Yeah.
and it can be done when kids are very young, as soon as they can handle scissors or tear paper. But I also think that one thing I want them to leave with is the importance of communication, that there is hope,
Yeah.
and that to sort of look to the adults around us for direction,
Yeah.
and for us as adults to I think reconfirm how important our role is in our kids' lives. They're always looking to see, how we react, what we say, and then mimic that. And so, yeah, I think if we're not sure how to be in a certain situation, especially this situation, then this book gives us a bit of a steer about how to handle it.
Wow. Joanna, on that note, I just want to say what an incredible conversation this has been. I'm a grandfather myself, and I can really appreciate the bond that is there between a grandchild and a grandfather, of course. But thank you so much for speaking to me about your book, Letters to My Grandfather. I was amazed at how easily you have been able to handle such complex emotions like joy, grief, loss, hope. I integrated it with collages, which is an art form or art making, introduced a difficult subject that most people find it difficult to handle with young readers. Thank you for talking to me about some of your own learnings and some of your own journeys that you had with, as you mentioned, an incredibly focused letter writing family. Thank you again. I look forward to seeing yet another book coming out from you soon. Thank
Thank
you for
you.
speaking to me and good luck.
Thanks, Ashutosh. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.